Shall we pray? Jesus, thank you, Lord, and praise you. Lord, our Redeemer, our Rock, our Refuge, our Wonderful Counselor, Consuming Fire, the Word of God, Emmanuel, the Lord with us, the Amen, the beginning and the end, Alpha and Omega, Jehovah Jireh, who provides, Jehovah Nissi, who is our banner, El Roy, the God who sees, you who sees not the outward appearance of man, but the inner thoughts and intentions. We want to worship you and praise you as these thoughts are written on our heart through the Holy Spirit. And as you bless and strengthen and teach us, help us to fellowship together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just read one verse as I begin. Is from Psalm 37 and verse 25. I've read it once before. Thankfully you would have forgotten, so I can say it again. I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread. He is ever giving liberally and lending, and his children become a blessing. I read it again. I have been young and now I am old. Children, I need your attention, okay? I'll try to make it simple, so I want your full attention, okay? I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread. He is ever giving liberally and lending, and his children become a blessing. I have been young and now I am old. How much young and how much old do you think? Suppose it was a fill in the blanks. How much young and old is he speaking about? I was young 15 years. I am old 8 years. Why is there no number given there? Last year, I was 52-year-old. This year, I'm 53-year-old. I was young last year. I'm older this year. Between the 365 days, I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging. The righteous person is giving liberally and lending, and his children become a blessing. Or, let's leave 365 days. I was 1 week younger last Sunday, and 1 week older this Sunday. And between that 7 days, I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging. Coming closer, between yesterday and today, I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread. What is this whole thing about old and young? It's about time. Why do we come every new year and think about the past year? It is about time. I was younger last year, older this year. Between that timeline, what has God been doing? How has his truth been unfolding before me? Has God proved his truth before us and in your ways? Surely he has. Surely he has. You will certainly be able to get down on your knees and say, I have not seen the righteous forsaken. You know why? Because that is God's word, which never changes. Our perceptions will change. Our attitudes will change. Our behaviors will change.
But God's holy word will never change. That is why he is called the rock. Not just simply to express some superpower or Superman. He's a rock, so he's like bigger than Superman. No. He is the rock. And I keep thinking myself, and I keep reminding the church also many times. I believe many of these things God created before the foundation of the world, he thought, I'm going to need an example to give to my beloved children later on. So let me create a rock. It will be different from stone. It will be different from gravel. It will be different from many sorts. They will learn in their geography class. They will learn in their geology class. They will classify it, but still they will know the difference between rock and sand. Because one day I'm going to talk about my beloved son, whom I will give to save them from their sin. And who is the Logos, who was with me and will be with them also. I'm paraphrasing, I'm hoping you will understand. I'm talking from John chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3. But I'm talking as though the Heavenly Father is telling us, one day my children will recognize when I say, the rock is Christ. They will know the difference. And they will put their trust on him, because they know that he is nothing but the rock. He will not, you know, if you understand, he's no less than the rock. And so they will trust in him. Even when there's a storm, they will build their house where? Where are you going to build your house? On the sand?
On the rock.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Anybody?
Sure.
Sure. Okay, you want to build in the rock, right? So I just told you, God the Father created the rock before. He thought of it so that Caleb one day will be able to understand. Aidan one day will be, you don't need a PhD to understand that. That Jesus is my rock, unchanging. And so what do you do? That is the difference. Okay, what do you do, Aidan? If he is the rock, what will you do? What comfort does it give you? Just think. If he is the rock, what comfort does it give you? It's all. Anyone. So he is the rock, okay. So he looks magnificent. Rock, big rock. Is that it? Yeah.
No, that the house won't fall.
What is the house?
No, if it's built on the rock.
Correct, yeah. But what is the house in your life? Can you think? It means something, no? You know it, you know it. It's only that you're not able to express it. Can you? Yeah, anybody else? Don't worry. Yes?
Your life.
Joshua, what is the rock? Yeah?
Your life.
Yes. Your life? Yes, very simple. You're building your life on something that is rock. I'm just trying to show. The children understood. Don't you think? Yes, because God created something called rock, which one day they will touch and feel and they will know the difference. And so they will see that the righteous is not forsaken, but his children begging bread. The righteous man who sets and builds his house on the rock, which is Christ, is ever giving liberally and lending. And his children become a blessing. So how am I assured that my children will become a blessing? It's assured. Because it is God's word. I trust him for it. But there's a condition. I have not seen the righteous forsaken. Okay, by first right, we are righteous because we have believed in the only Son of God, and his blood cleanses us from all sin. So I am righteous. But by second right, we are obedient to his word. And so we walk right according to the Spirit. And so we are righteous. Don't forget that. That's where application of it is. It is true that we are made righteous in Christ, and Christ sees us sinless through his Son. But it is also true that a reflection of that is that we live righteous too. Not perfect. Pastor reminds us it's not perfection, but it's blamelessness. Known sin revealed to you by the Holy Spirit, you confess, get up and walk. You do not wallow in it. There are many unknown sins in our heart. That when God reveals, then you do the same. Repent, get up, move forward. But never wallow in sin which God has revealed once, twice. I can't tell more because I don't know how many chances he gives, honestly. While disciplining his children, honestly, the Bible hasn't told how much chances God will give. We know he is gracious. We know he is long-suffering. But how many chances, depending on the person and your behavior and your heart and my heart. God may give many chances before he disciplines to one person, and he may give only one chance to your neighbor. In your family also it will happen. Why? Because God is the one who sees the heart. He alone knows how much to discipline, when to discipline. So don't be surprised when discipline comes suddenly on you or somebody in your family or a loved one. Because Jesus loves you and he treats you, as in Hebrews chapter 12 it says, he treats you like a legitimate son, not an illegitimate son. Alright, so again, my children always scold me for repeating things again and again. But you will forgive me, I am repeating this because I myself wanted to remain in my heart, and I wanted to remain in the children's heart, and I wanted to remain in your heart also, because this is God's word. I don't want my word to remain in your heart, because I don't know, it can be not very true sometimes. But I want God's word, because it's always profitable for us. Yesterday, we were out in Kottayam. It was unplanned for me. Okay, this is my experience, I just want to share here. Okay, I talked about, I was young, I was old. Between that, how God works out his word. That is called testimony. That is called proving God's truth. That is called God proving his will. That is God, called God working out his mighty wonders and works through you. That is called God's training in children. You know, God trains us. Children, you know, do you know that it's not just in the gym when you go that you are trained? Do you know that God trains his children? And that training means training. You know how much painful sometimes it is to lift up your hands and pick up those dumbbells? Do you know how difficult it is sometimes to suddenly start walking? 1 mile you go and come back, you say, my leg hurts, tomorrow I'm not going. And then you need to persevere, right? That is called training, isn't it? Caleb, how much time do you spend on learning the guitar, right? You learn the drums.
Drums.
Okay, how easy is it?
It's quite difficult.
Why is it difficult? You're so happy in doing it and it's your motivation, but still difficult?
Yeah.
Okay, you think it'll be become easy?
No.
It will become a little more easier.
Maybe after some time.
Okay, maybe after some time. He catches it, right? Same thing. You all agree with him, right? Suddenly, you're learning vocals. How difficult is it?
It is not so difficult, but it's kind of
okay. Okay, kind of difficult. Okay, but you know it is. You need to. Sometimes you may get fed up, right? Because you're not able to hit that note. And you know, yesterday I was okay, today I'm not okay. How many days will I take? Okay, anybody else can... One of my children testified about violin, learning violin. They gave up 100 times. But, you know, the thing is that. But training. See, God trains us in his word. The Bible says that. God trains us. Okay? He does not... He fills us with the Holy Spirit. He gives us the word of God for our training in righteousness. All scripture is God-breathed. And it's profitable for what all? For teaching, rebuke, correction, instruction, so that the man of God might be fully equipped for what? Yes, imagine you would go to the gym every day and at the end of it you come back with muscles and all, and then you do nothing. You just lie down and sleep. Don't you think it's a waste of time, light, money, energy? You need to do something with that health, right? If God has given you health, I will run through a troop. Do you know where that verse is? I will leap over a wall. Do you know where that verse is? It's not in the gym book of training. You know, gym's book of training. It is Psalm 18. If I'm right. 18, right? Psalm 18. You see, when God gives us health, run with that health. Don't complain. You understand? God trains us physically God gives us health physically. God trains our mind to think rightly. In fact, if you go for an apologetic seminar, some theologian, studying the Bible calls it, no. One of the things that you learn first is how to think rightly about thinking. Many times we think wrongly. That is why we end up with a wrong understanding. We need to think rightly about thinking. For example, we will give arguments which are fallacies. Fallacy in Varna? Poshatam. But we will argue. We will argue. Anything from the Bible we'll take and we'll argue. But actually, if you think rightly, you will find out that it's a fallacy. You can't even ask the question sometimes. Similarly, remember, God wants us to exercise our mind. God wants us to exercise our body. Exercise in the sense, use it for Him. For a purpose, He gives us. For a purpose, He fills us with the Holy Spirit. For a purpose, He baptizes the church with gifts. For a purpose. We know the purpose, right? We've been learning that. For a purpose. You know, then it gives so much of weight to it. Because you understand, oh Lord, I'm praying for this gift. But at the same time, you stand with fear because when God gives you, your responsibility has moved. It's actually responsibility has moved from here to here. Because you need to use it. Because then you need to pray. If you have got the gift of tongues, you pray, oh Lord, how is it to be? Lord, give me the gift of interpretation. Lord, how do I? Oh Lord, Master, how do I use it for praying? Lord, now earlier I could give you the excuse that, you know, I'm distracted and my mind is not working properly. But now I cannot give that excuse because this gift bypasses my mind. I cannot give the excuse anymore. At the same time, oh Lord, for whom is it? Is it for me? Is there a message here that I should stand as I pray? Is there somebody hurting in the church? Is there somebody who has come with deep depression? Is there somebody who is hiding sin in the church? Lord, is it for them? Lord, they are my brothers and sisters. They walked into this church. I don't know them. Lord, how do I use this gift? God exercises, trains us. He teaches us His word because there is grand purpose. Coming back to what I said yesterday. So between yesterday and today, there are things that I have seen. I just want to leave some names outside. I just went because Sandhya's cousin's daughter. Is it who was getting married? Cousin daughter or cousin? Cousin daughter was getting married. A huge hall in a place. Lot of big doctors because it's related to CMC Vellore. So a lot of senior, their parents are from there. Grand wedding. We attended that. Okay. And then we visited two or three homes who are our close relatives. The first home that we went, again, retired, very well to do, retired, the husband of the home has passed away after being some kind of an MD or something in some big firm. And as the mother is speaking, the wife is speaking, she wept. Just want to tell you the reason she wept. Because she lost her son-in-law. I don't know, when was it? Rainy. Maybe a year back. My heart melted. See, remember, this is Sandhya's side of cousins and all. I don't know them much. So I'm just driving, taking them, watching. Between those hours, I'm thinking, reflecting. Oh Lord, my goodness, what hurt that is. To be able to be alive, to see people who are younger than you in your family being taken away early is a humbling experience. I don't want that in my life. I don't want to see the death of anyone in my family who is younger than me, let alone anyone like my son-in-law. But it happened in their home. I won't say the details. It's part of a humbling process for that family. It was not like that in the past years. Many things, ups and downs, hearts not being melted, repentance not being there. I have seen them many years back. I see them now. There are tears now rolling down their cheeks, which were never there before. It was hearts filled with pride before. But I saw tears rolling down. Why? Because God loves them. I can't judge. I take this lesson for myself. Oh Lord, thank you. And I pray that there will be no premature death in my home. Grant that I will not see when I am living, somebody in my life, in my family, pass away poor young. Oh Lord. That's my prayer. But I'm saying I'm learning many other things. And then even while we were actually going to that, we suddenly saw the maiden, the maid who was working in their house for many years. She walked past and Amma said, Laila. She didn't recognize Amma. And they said, oh, Saraswana. And then she spoke so happily. And suddenly she said, in the morn boy, Parthavam boy, and she broke down and started weeping. I don't know the story. Remember, this is my witness. So I'm just walking with them, driving them, taking them, seeing all these relatives. And here number two, a woman in a different strata of society who has recently lost her son to suicide and lost her husband to broken heart because of the son's suicide. And she went helpless. How humbling that is. My heart ached. I'm thinking, what blessing, O Lord, that we are enjoying. We don't have any reason right now to for tears to roll down our cheek. And then we go to the last house. That was late. Actually, I was kind of tired. But we still wanted to go there because that is also a broken home. That is the home I will leave unnamed. I met one of my first alma mater seniors. He is a 1961 batch mechanical engineer from CEP, Toronto. 61 batch. He retired as a big shot. I leave the name because many of us may know him at some point of time. He can't walk. He's sitting, it's a huge palatial home. We go there and meet him inside, bright faced, speaking. And he's talking. Now I don't know again, who is a believer here and all. I didn't ask. I am just walking along with them. Amma knows and Sandhya knows. And apparently the wife is a believer. She's the one who has been praying. But this gentleman has gone through lot of tragedy of recent. And now he's sitting on a big sofa, but he cannot walk. And then what touched me is this. Just before we left from there, he said one statement, which I don't know the background. He said, Sarasu Prathana Charasu Prathikimo. That is the first time in his life he bent his heart, saying, would you pray before you leave? And Amma tells me that in that home, that auntie, his wife, is a prayer warrior. That is the connection with that home. She is one who weeps and prays and cries. On top of that, one more thing. I saw his daughter who had just come from Dubai and she was there. Remember again, this is all my witness. Okay, I have not asked the background. And then suddenly I said, how are you? Dubai, one level. Before I asked question, I saw my mother-in-law staring at my face. I wondered why she's staring at me. She wants to say something. And in front of her, she said, Jordi, do you know, she lost her husband 2 months back. My heart sank. My goodness. Oh Lord, what is this that I am hearing? What pain and agony that home would have been going through. But the joy and the hope was that before going for the first time, that very senior retired engineer asked Amma to pray. For that reason, I am telling you, God does many things in our lives. For me, it is a matter of fear, because I am not sitting to judge what happened and things like that. But now, when I look at it, I know, within just a short experience, I know what could go wrong in my life. What could go wrong if I talk and talk and talk, but I don't take step according to my talk? What will happen if I read the Bible and learn and learn and learn and hear sermon after sermon, but do not take the step? Now you know the answer. That fear that is in me, may I pass it on to you, if it doesn't sound rude. Because, do you know what happened when the Holy Spirit started working in the churches, in the Acts of the Apostles? I wonder, what is it? And a great something fell upon the whole church. Any of the children, can you fill that? A great something fell upon the church. What is it? Guess. Yeah.
Light.
Yeah, light came, but I am looking for something else. You're right? Yeah?
Fear.
Does it sound logical? Is it correct? A great fear came upon the church. A great fear. Fear of what? Why did they fear? Why did they remember?
They feared God.
Yeah, but why? God did something. Adu vera fear and all. Something God did. Tell it bluntly, sister. What did God do to his beloved children, husband and wife?
Ananias and Sapphira died in front of the
church. Say it in literal words. God did something to his beloved children. What is that word? Starts with a K.
Killed.
നമ്മുടെ യേശു സഭയിലെ രണ്ടുപേരെ കൊന്നോ? യു അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ് വൈ? നമ്മുടെ യേശുവോ, നമ്മൾക്ക് വേണ്ടി ജീവൻ തന്ന യേശുവോ, നമ്മളെ രക്ഷിച്ച യേശുവോ? യേശു ജീവൻ, ഹി ടേക്സ്, ഹി കട്ട് ഷോർട്ട് ഫോർ സച്ച് എ സില്ലി റീസൺ. ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ് ടു സ്മോൾ എ റീസൺ? But it's a small reason, no. We do far more greater things than that. You understood? Joshua, you understood? Listen to me, listen to the word of God. Then you will get understanding. The fear of God came upon the church of God. You know why? When the word does not have takers in heart. The word has takers in mind. The word has Bible students. The word has congregation. But the word has no doer. James chapter 1, towards the end of it, it says what? Certain things it says. Be quick to hear, slow to speak. The anger of man does not work out the righteousness of God. Still be slow to speak. Your anger is not going to achieve anything. Be slow to speak, but quick to hear. What a poetic way of saying it. What a beautiful way of saying it. And then it goes down and says, be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. Because when that doesn't match, then God loves. And because Jesus loves, because He loved only, He gave His life for you. Because of that only we are celebrating Him. Because of that we are legitimate children of His. Because of that you do not belong. To whom do you belong now? Bernice, to whom does your body belong now once you come to Christ? What does the Bible say?
Jesus.
Are you sure? What does God say about your body? What has it become?
Temple of the Holy Spirit.
Can you imagine that? The temple of His soul. So when you are in your room, when Appa and Amma are not seeing you, what are you? What is this?
Temple of the Holy Spirit.
You are sure? Or is it when you come to Shama for worship that it becomes temple of the Holy Spirit? By the way, children, remember, I am just using you as example. This is exactly, I want to actually call some elderly people and tell, do you know? Dr. Jacob, do you know? But they may be embarrassed. That is why I am not using. But the same thing applies to Dr. Jacob. I am using you because you are my beloved. I love you. Okay, I would want to ask, I would want to say, Diana, stand up. I would want to say, Diana, do you know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? When you are in the office, when you are in the... I would want to say that. It might embarrass and hurt adults. Because we have grown in ego. Right? So I am using children. Children will hear and they will receive mostly. They will receive mostly. That is why Jesus said, don't stop them, let them come. You do not know. Unless you become like them, you cannot come to me. When there is a gap between the hearing and the doing, or if that sounds too much, I'll say hearing and receiving. Doing comes later. When you receive it as God's word and says, Lord, this I need to take a step. God, you have told me more than this. I must take a step now. There is a word called conviction. I find it in Hebrews chapter 11, associated with the best definition of faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Conviction is a strong term. One of the work of the Holy Spirit, of our beloved precious Holy Spirit, is to bring conviction of the gap between hearing and doing. I'm just saying it in simple words. Conviction of sin, we know. Sometimes it is needed to explain it like a child, then that will touch us. Conviction of sin, conviction of sin, conviction of sin. I know in Malayalam what is the conviction? Conviction day. Malayalam. Papa Bodhan, they don't have an honor number 8 for a worship in the earth. Papa Bodhan, they don't have a shit alma way. But she ended with a till Ninda Vajanao Vajanath and the Pravati and Dumbbell Vityasam Ulla the Iniki Mansilaki Teranaway and the Paran. That is the meaning. And if he has done that, Mansilaki Karinyal. Immediately repent. Don't wait till you get out of this hall. Don't get out from the Zoom meeting till you repent and turn. If God has convicted you. Because Parishuddhaatma and Varkada. To make us more like Him. Because He loves. Not to judge us. Remember not to judge us. What is the last verse? I always remember this when I say these things. Benjamin, you remember 1 Corinthians chapter 11 down. We keep reading before breaking of bread. Last 11th verse, 10th verse. Last. But if he, Malayalam, the last one, last verse, 11:23, I'm not testing you, I don't remember, I'm trying to see myself, okay? 1 Corinthians, I've got, can anybody who got it? What is the last verse that we read? ഒരു ഭാഷം മലയാളത്തിൽ പറ ഒരു ഭാഷ ഇംഗ്ലീഷിൽ
നാം ലോകത്തോടുകൂടെ ശിക്ഷാവിധിയിൽ അകപ്പെടാതിരിക്കേണ്ടതിന് കർത്താവ് നമ്മെ ബാലശിക്ഷ
കഴിക്കും
വിധിക്കപ്പെടുന്നുവെങ്കിലോ നാം ലോകത്തോടുകൂടെ
വിധിക്കപ്പെടാതിരിക്കോട്ടെ വിധിക്കപ്പെടുന്നെങ്കിലോ ആരാ But if God judges me, His child. Judge cheyan vendi alla. One verse before that, God tells us the bail. If you judge yourself, you will not be judged. It's like a court. I remember this. Imagine that is the only... It happens only in the Supreme Court of God. where you can testify yourself, you can confess yourself, and you can walk free yourself. The judge will say, he's not going to say anything. You understand that? God's court is a righteous court where you can just stand there and you can confess and you can walk out. God accepts you. And he wants that. God wants you to walk into his court, repent, go out. Don't wait for a verdict. There is no verdict because the verdict is already finished on the cross. But he wants you to stand there and confess, receive and get out. Get out to do his will. If we judge ourselves, then there is no need for the last verse. Pashche, one prasham paranju, two prasham paranju, conviction onde vashe illa, kekunno vashe thirmanam illa, engil, then that is applicable. Vidhikkappedunnu engilo, logathinodu kude, shikshavidhiyil, I don't know the verse. So that you will not be judged along with the world, God will discipline you. That is the reason. Adinda meli parayunnathu, do you not know that some have been weak and sick and died? It is a frightening thing, it's unpleasant thing. Just like we said, the fear of God. Fear of God came into the church over the church of God. God is not a very pleasant thing. Imagine you walked up here on a worship in the morning and say, good morning everyone, today we worship the Lord, celebrate. And instead of that, the pastor would have stood here and said, oh no, I'm frightened. And then everybody says, Nipedia, God's, I don't know what's going to happen. Because I've sinned. I've not listened to him. God gave me a chance, but I've not. What do we do? Adhuvera veithi unda. You understand? We don't need for those tears to roll from our cheeks to start the process of setting right the gap between the word of God and the doing of it. You begin to understand that power, beloved. So I just wanted to tell you, based on my experience, I'm saying these are thoughts that are crossing through my mind all through yesterday. And as I came back, I was saying, oh Lord, Master, you are a trainer. All I did was to drive my family to a wedding and then to visit three homes. But we went to the three homes with the right vision in heart. We went to bless them. We went to pray for them. And we went to hear their heart out. And when we did that, I got a lot of lessons. I was reminded that yes, God's word will never fall down empty. And when he, remember the verse that I read. The verse that I read, again Psalm 37 verse 25. Here it is not talking about the punishment of God, because it is talking about a righteous man. A righteous man, again remember in our context, is not the perfect man, but is one who is listening to God's word, receiving it, when the conviction comes, immediately making first step forward in correction for it. Knowing very well that we are weak, knowing that only his grace is sufficient for us, knowing that I may fall again possibly, but still we know that's the right step forward. Children, remember, I want to share one thing with you which I've said earlier. You know, one of the most exciting things about the truth of Christ is that when you come to Christ, all facade is removed, all hypocrisy is destroyed. Before we come to Christ and the truth, before we are set free, we will use facades. We will show ourselves to be somebody while our heart and character is something else. That is who we are. But once we come to Christ, the Holy Spirit will break away that facade and remove it, so that you will be who you are transparently. You have the option of bringing the facade. Sometimes, you know, knowingly we bring it back, that God doesn't want. The Bible says that once you are in Christ, you are an open letter of recommendation. People have to see your life and read it. Reena, your life. People have to see your life. People have to see your life. People have to see my life and read it. Okay, this is the work of Jesus. This is how things are working out. You understand? Shiv, as I'm looking, I'm just saying, okay? Remember, as you're there in Australia, you're an open letter of recommendation. Of whom? Whom? The work of Jesus Christ in your life. You don't need to be perfect. Don't misunderstand that. Nobody is saying that you have to be perfect, but you are a child of Jesus Christ. And by virtue of that, you are now a holy nation, part of a holy nation. You are part of a holy priesthood. You don't need special ordination in that sense. Right? You are richly blessed. Remember, just as I was worshipping there, one thought just crossed my mind. I love the word riches and rich. Don't misunderstand me. I tell you what it is. I love the word riches because God uses that. First of all, He says, let my word dwell rich, let the word of Christ dwell meagerly alla, partly alla, partially alla, richly. But who is the word? Edai word of the one who has all riches in his hand. I mean physical riches and physical prosperity and spiritual prosperity. Let him dwell in your heart. Let the word of God, the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Another beautiful verse that I always remember is in 2 Timothy. It says this, who richly furnishes you with everything to enjoy. I tell my children, this is my favorite verse. I love that translation, to enjoy. For this same God who is a discipliner and who will not close his eyes on hypocrisy in his church, who may discipline you if you don't hear two times, that same God richly furnishes us with everything to enjoy. In 2 Timothy, actually it's addressing rich people. He's saying, I say this to you rich, those who are rich, be rich in good deeds. And he says, don't be haughty. And then he explains. But there he explains also and gives the basis that this Jesus richly furnishes you with everything to enjoy. The word rich is there. And you can apply to everything. You cannot distinguish that and say, okay, you understand. So God has richly blessed you, Shiv, because you are His child, named by Him. He knows you by name and you know Him by? Another verse. You know Him by voice. You know Him by voice. But He knows you by name. Your pet name. The Hindi people had come here, remember? And I call that elderly lady Mausi. That's how it is. Mausi. We all know her as Mausi. So Amma and all knows her as Mausi. But the first day we sat for prayer, the Holy Spirit, as soon as Amma prayed for Mausi, Holy Spirit said, no, call her Nanda. Because I call her Nanda. And her heart melted. Because Nanda is a pet name. Who calls by pet name? Who calls him more? What is that? Sachu, Chachu, Muchu and all. Who calls? Right? Who calls? When Appa and Amma call, it is very special. We all call for fun, but they will not find it that much thing. But when you call, I'll give an example, which again is part of my life story, but I'll transparently tell. There was one of my cousins whom I loved so much. I loved so much. She was not a believer earlier. Then I used to address her as Kutta because I loved her so much. And then later on she got married to a believer. Her life transformed and got married to a believer. We were running for that. And 1 month later, the husband called and said, Dordia, Kutta Mura Viliyam Nartam. Her husband called me, a very good friend of mine. And he lovingly told me, Dordia, please stop calling me Kutta because now that word belongs to me. What changed? Do you know that is probably a hint in Revelation when Jesus evaluates the churches and at some point He says, I will give you a new name, a name that nobody else knows. Do you know that there are many husbands and wives here who have names they call each other and nobody else knows and they don't want anybody else to know because that is private and it is so romantic and loving. they will not publicize it because for the right reason. In that name, nobody else should know. I should know my wife by that name. As soon as I call, she will jump for joy, her heart will leap because I know who is calling me. See that shift? Jesus knows you by a name that is a pet name because he loves you. And you hear him by his voice. Where? As you read the word of God, as you go to church, as your believing friends keep telling you, the Holy Spirit will still, he'll convict you, give you direction, ask you to say, make some amends in your life sometimes. When you are low, he will encourage you because his voice speaks to you. Alright? I think I should stop here. Right? Just one more thing I'll say. Jaden, when you... Where's Jaden? Jaden, when you prayed, there's one thing that you said which is a very deep truth. You said something about Jesus who died for us on the cross. Do you remember what you said? And then you said something. Can you say that again? Yeah, say it from the beginning. You died for...
You died for us on the cross and shed your blood.
Yes, and...
And you were buried for 3 days, yes. And you rose again to save us again.
Yes. Do you know that that is the good news? If you can think of it as a pellet, a concentrated pellet, which has all the truth in it, which has all the power in it, which has all the good news for us in it, it is that. In fact, he doesn't know, but he said something which Paul said. Paul, who knew so many things, he said it. He said everything lies in that resurrection, between death, burial and resurrection. If he has not risen up, we can shut down Shema and go. All what we are talking about is false. Everything is false. But the fact is, Jesus Christ, who is risen, right now is listening to me. Right now he is speaking to your spirit because he is alive. And right now he is bringing conviction to your heart. Right now he is bringing clarity. And right now he is stirring up your heart because he is alive. Not because I am speaking. I know he will do it because I trust in his word. Because he says so. That is the same excitement in which I walk in here every day. That's the same excitement when I raise up my hand. It's not because I'm excited. It is because I'm hoping that this Jesus who said, he is in the midst. When two or three are gathered, that's a fellowship number. That's a church number that God actually desires. From then later on, everything else is in his hand. Whether it's 5, 10, 15, come back to 3, go back to 10, 20, come back to 5,000, go back to 3. That is all the work of the chief shepherd of the sheep. And he will do it. And mercifully, till the time he does not need to remove the lampstand. When the congregation connects their word, the word of God, with the doing of the heart, with conviction. And then God will help and God will give grace. So I just wanted to tell you that that is the gospel. And if you have a little bit of doubt, I just want to read one more verse and tell you, because Paul again says the same thing when he summarizes in 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7 and 8. Anybody can read that? The good news in pellet form. You got it? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7, 8. 8 is the verse that I'm talking about, but 7 also you read.
Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel.
Okay. Remember what? Remember what? He says, you know, after all, some of the things in the word of God, of course it's so profound, but it's so simple, yet it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. It teaches us, everything is there. But remember, he says, think over what I say. That is called meditation, you understand? If anything that we have spoken here and you have a doubt, you think over it. Don't forget it, because who picks up the seed and runs away with it? The devil is active in distracting. The devil is active in removing. That is why when you sit for family prayer, most likely there is an argument and a fight. It is not because you are at fault. It is because you are not alert. It is because you have not known the word which says, stand alert and firm and wear the armor of God. Rebuke the demons in the name of Jesus and say, I will sit for family prayer. I will not allow the devil to distract us and bring. It happens in my home, that's why I thoroughly know that. You can ask our children, go and ask and they'll tell you. Every time we sit, we have to be alert. It is not a one-time thing, it is a daily thing. As soon as we sit, that will be the time when somebody is upset about something and somebody brings something to share which upsets the other person and we will end up without prayer. And I keep reminding myself and my wife and my children, and we keep reminding each other. Even though we don't like it. Because at that time we are all wanting to get at each other's throat. And who wants to listen to the truth at that time? But the Bible says the devil will be there wanting to distract you. Remove the word that is sown in your heart. That is what is meditation. Remember, meditation is not thinking about something empty in space and just sitting down there and emptying your mind. No. It is thinking about what God is speaking to you. It is thinking about His word, which is active, double-edged sword, piercing the division of the to the bone of bone and marrow, discerning your thoughts and human intentions. So when I deal with the word of God, when I read it, when we sit for family prayer, the word of God knows your heart. He knows your thought. And He will speak. But don't allow the devil to remove it. So when we do that, think about what we say, and God will give you understanding in everything. And verse 8, the gospel. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descended from David, as preached in the gospel. Because these two are very, very important. He's descended from David because that fulfills the whole promise of God before the foundation of the world. He proclaimed it, said it, and it's done. I will have a throne through my son David. And He's risen. He's risen. He says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descended from David, as preached in my gospel. And one more last thing to the children I want to ask. In English, don't think about Malayalam. Good Friday is called good. It should actually be bad. It should be sorrowful. Like in Malayalam, they say, Dukkha Valiyasam. But why is Good Friday good? Why is Good Friday good? Should it be bad? They crucified Jesus, no? Sure. Huh?
Jesus died for our sins, yeah, so that we can be holy. Because if you have to be holy, like no, only a holy person can die for our sins. And Jesus, yeah, died for us.
Okay, Jesus died for us. But remember, in simplicity, He rose up. We know that already. Okay, no spoilers in the story. Sometimes, you know, we give spoilers. You know, we tell the end of the story before we put a spoiler. The spoiler is Jesus is risen. And whoever calls upon His name will prove that He is risen. You won't prove it, the Holy Spirit will prove it. That's our job. That is why we are called to be people of the light and salt on this earth. That is why He says in Ephesians chapter 2, 8-9, last and the one, we are His workmanship in Christ Jesus, created for Joli Jayan, meaning good works, works. Doer, Mansila, doer a work. doer, works. I have created you and made you a new child. I have given you new life. You are born again for a purpose, because you will shine for me and I will prove my law. I will prove my word in your life. Do you think about these things which I am saying? When conviction comes, immediately take a step in your life. Take one foot forward by faith. By faith you do. And then, I will conclude with this, then 100% you will realize the same verse again. I was old, but now I was young, but now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread. It's us he's talking about. He will prove it. And that's what He does. I need to stop. I'll keep on going. Shall we close our eyes and pray? Could you all stand up and we could just pray? Pastor, I think you could pray. Please. Thank you.
Hallelujah. 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 Precious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, for you speak the truth to us. And we thank you that you speak the truth to us in love.
Thank you, Lord.
Because you're a loving God, you're a merciful God, you're kind, you're tender-hearted, you're slow to anger, you're abounding in mercy, you're full of grace, you're full of truth, yet you're a God who's a consuming fire. So here we are, we come before your throne. There is nothing hidden in your sight with regard to our lives. And where can we run from you, O God? We thank you that we can run to you, because you are the Lord who gave us your very life.